I play the piano, not well like Alice or Doug, but I can play the piano. I took a lot of years of lessons from Ruth Corbin. She was faithful at teaching me, but I don't have the musical talent that many others have. But I can play the piano and I can read music. And when I play the piano, I play the whole song. It sounds complete when you play the piano in and of itself. And while it sounds okay with other voices, when people like Dove join Alice this morning, it was lovely. Or when voices, vocal voices join, it is lovely to join in with the piano. But the piano can play music which sounds complete within itself, doesn't need something else to amplify it. Years ago, when I was attending Reedwood Friends Church in Portland, they bought a set of handbells. Now, handbells are a number of bells that each have a different note. I'm guessing we had a 3-octave set. I don't really know for sure, but I'm guessing we had a 3-octave set, and that means that there would have been 37 unique bells that played. And we would play a song together as a community. I played F and G. For those of you that know music, I played 2 notes. I was also responsible for F sharp and G sharp. But I played 2 notes in the whole piece of music. So you have a whole piece of music and you're just to hit those 2 notes. Now, practicing by yourself, you had to count out. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. I mean, I left out the 4, but, you know, there was, and then you play a couple of notes and then you were silent. So, by itself, it sounds really hokey. But when you put it all together, it sounds lovely. All the bells ringing together and they play a tune. They play a song that is complete, but each person has to do their part. The other trick with hound bells is the importance of playing your timing right. Now that's really important in any piece of music, particularly when we join with others in playing any piece of music. But it felt incredibly important with the handbells. And I remembered when we first started practicing, I felt like I was on a race. Trying to get my F and G in the right time. I had to learn to anticipate and be ready for it when it came along so that you could flow with the larger piece of music that was happening. But it was interesting just to realize how important I was, because if I left my my bells out, if I didn't play, then really something was lost in the melody. Something was lost in the music. When we think about God's stories, sometimes we're a full song. The part of the God story that we're involved in feels like it's kind of complete. And yes, we know that there's other voices around that are a part of it, but it feels like we have kind of a complete place in that God story, a complete sense of being our God story, and we're involved in it kind of from the beginning to the end, or at least for a full chapter. But there's other times when we play a note here and there and it doesn't sound complete at all, and it doesn't even sound significant. It doesn't sound like it even matters. Like it's even a thing. Like it's not a thing. It's just me doing life, and what's the point of me being at that particular place at that particular time? And yet to recognize that it does matter, that we're a part of playing something larger than ourselves, something that is complete and real and bigger than just us. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 11 from the Message Bible. Who is Paul? And who is Apollos? Servants, both of us. Servants who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust your lives to our mutual master. We each carried out our servant assignment. I planted the seed, and Apollos watered the plants, but God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Planting and watering are menial servant jobs at minimum wages. What makes them worth doing is the God we are serving. You happen to be God's field in which we are working. Or to put it another way, you are God's house. Using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I designed the blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. And so we each bring our piece to this thing that God is doing, to this foundation that Christ has laid, and we each add our piece to that a building or to that planting, whatever metaphor we want to use, whether it's playing handbells or playing on a team of sports, playing basketball. You know, it isn't, the game's never going to be won if you just have your sharpshooter as the only person that's on the team. You need the defense. You need all the other players that are a part of that. So we all have to work together as a team. And we have our piece, and without our piece, it doesn't work well. It doesn't work well. Recently, Dove said that someone asked her about these Fear Not buttons that we wear all over the place and asked if we were a part of a movement, if there was something going on that we were trying to do. And the truth is that, yes, there is a God movement of telling us that we don't have to live afraid. Our first record of that is in Scripture, in Genesis 15:1, in a message, God is talking to Abram and talking about his descendants and what's coming, and he begins with saying, "Fear not, you don't have to be afraid. I am doing something larger in your life, and I will be with you. I will accompany you." And then he goes on to say that he's going to have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. And Abram's saying, "Yeah, well, how about one?" But God is faithful to bring him Isaac in time. So there is a part of the story. But it begins with fear not. More than 60 times in Scripture, it says, "Fear not." Or in other versions, "Don't be afraid." In some way that God tells us that we don't have to live afraid. Even in our current season, when we have taken this message on, the message is much broader than just us. It isn't something that's just North Seattle Friends, that we've kind of got it in isolation from everybody else out there. I run across it all over the place. All over the place that people are saying, "We don't have to live afraid. Don't be afraid. God is with us." And they see that in a multitude of ways that come out. I sometimes say, we've just made it a slogan, that's all. But we're helped, I think, by stepping back and noticing the bigger picture, to see what God is doing. To see that, in fact, we are joining a larger movement that says we don't have to live afraid. And that particularly in this political culture, where fear is often so articulated and so rampant, when every time you watch the news or read the newspaper or look on the internet, we see that fear is kind of an underground that many people are living with. And to say we don't have to live afraid and our witness against that, but to recognize that there's this God movement and we are only one part of that, one choir of the many, many choirs that are singing that, one piece of being able to do that. The truth is that God is at work all the time, speaking to people and enacting reconciliation It's actually a global reconciliation. God is at work on this world. And I am convinced that God is speaking 24/7 to every single person on the face of the earth. There's not a single person on the face of the earth that God isn't talking to. Now, not everybody hears because they're not listening. In fact, Scripture says, he who has ears to hear, let him... ears to listen, ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, I'm bad at quoting things in the middle of it, and then if I didn't write it down. But anyway, ears to hear, let him hear. And so I'm convinced that God is speaking all the time, and all we have to do is pause and listen, and that we can hear. We can hear way forward. We can hear about what's going on in any particular situation. And God is about doing this reconciliation work that is much, much bigger than any piece that we're involved in. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 19, he writes, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to God's self through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to God's self, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us." So that God is at work in this world, reconciling the world, all of the world, to himself, calling people to follow God, calling things to be ordered, for there to be justice, for things to work in a God manner. I mean, I think that's a part of what's going on in your condo. People don't necessarily know what it is. They don't have a clue. But God is at work doing something, and you're simply there as a piece of it. God is at work all around the world, all the time, doing reconciliation work. It's a work in Carol's life as she talks about being in the middle of this messy middle and not really even know what's going on. But God is at work in reconciliation, doing things that make a huge, huge difference in people's lives. It's big and it's world-changing. But God has given us a place in the middle of it. And yeah, sometimes in the messy middle of it. And we're a bit off-put by the messiness. We think, I like tidy places, thank you very much. God, would you put me in the middle of a tidy working of your stuff? Would you? And yet, you know, the truth is that it isn't tidy. Life isn't tidy. And God places us in the middle of what God is doing in our world. And then God trusts this work to us. That's huge. That God has given us the message of reconciliation and trusts us to live that out. And much of that is just done by just being faithful to our piece. It's like the handbells. We play our note when it's our turn. Sometimes it's the whole song, and God gives us a major chunk of something to do that enacts reconciliation, and we stand and take a large place in what God is doing, and we're faithful to that. But many, many times, it's kind of like the handbells. You're given an F and a G, and we're invited to play it when it's our time. Now, in order to not miss out when it's my time, we need to be listening. We've got to be tuned in to what's God doing, paying attention to the bigger picture, thinking about, God, what are you doing here? So that I can pay attention and notice, now, God says, this is when I need you to step forward and say something. This is when I need you to be quiet. This is how I want you to be. This is when I want you to knock on that door. There's a thousand ways that God invites us to play our note in the larger song. But God trusts us to do that. And that's huge. I'm humbled by that. That God would trust us to carry out this ministry of reconciliation that God is at work doing. We can't do it, just like we can't grow plants, you know. You can water them, you can do stuff, you can put fertilizer on them, and we talk about how some people have the touch, but really there's nothing you can do that makes that plant grow. That's a God thing that grows. It's because God created them in such a way. You know, seeds naturally grow when they're given the opportunity, and we're a part of giving that opportunity, but it's a natural thing that's a part of its nature to grow, because that's how God created them. So we do our piece, we don't create it. But sometimes I think it's really good to pause and ask, what is God doing? Where do I notice God's presence? And what is the bigger picture of the God movement that's going on here? You know, the truth is that how God packages the story is different from how we receive it. We just kind of see that, you know, where it shines through and we see the edges of it and we see our piece of it. And sometimes we're kind of like, and what are you doing? I don't really get this. This doesn't make sense. If I were in charge here, I would do it this way and I would have these things all unfold and I could organize this a whole lot better than. But yeah, God is doing something way, way bigger than I could do even if I were to organize it. Because I might organize these few things to come out right. I might play the F and G notes a whole lot. But I'm telling you, a song played only with F and G is going to be pretty boring. We need the notes to be fuller. We need something bigger. And we cannot create this miracle of reconciliation on our own. We can't grow plants. We cannot do the whole enchilada by ourselves. Even though we sometimes try. Even though we sometimes think that it's all up to me. The larger God story is much more complex and integrated than we see. It's got way more complexities, and there are people that we never even will hear about or know about that are impacting the God story that we're involved in. It's something way, way, way bigger, and we'll never know the impact that others have on our God story. We also never know all the times when we play our F and G and it makes a difference and we don't have a clue that it made a difference. A story I heard that really has stuck with me about that, there was a couple living, they currently live in Eugene, Oregon, but they were going through a hard time in their marriage, and Paul got mad and left. They were in a hotel room and he got mad and slammed the door and left the hotel room going he knew not where to do he knew not what. But he remembered as he was kind of walking around that he had been in a Quaker meeting sometime before, some years before. It had been an unprogrammed meeting. He had no clue what Quakers were. He didn't know about waiting in the silence and listening for God to speak. He had no clue what this was all about. He sat down in this unprogrammed meeting and they were all silent. He's kind of like, well, when are they going to do something? And he said they sat there for a long time and finally an older woman got up and said something. And he said it was something profound that spoke to him. And he never forgot that what she had said meant something to him. And then the meeting ended and they all got up and shook hands and left and went home, and he's kind of like, what was that all about? The meeting in and of itself seemed insignificant, except that he appreciated what this lady said, but the rest of it just seemed totally insignificant and inconsequential. And so then we're back to years later when he has just slammed the door on his wife and walked out not knowing what to do and what he's going to do. And he remembers this situation. And he says, well, maybe the Quakers know what to do. And so he looked up in the phone book, found Eugene Friend's church, went to see the pastor and said, I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. My wife and I just had a big fight. And you know, because of that, he came to know Jesus. He got involved in ministry. He was a leader in the church. He was faithful to live out. Now, without that woman, who probably had no clue what impact she had on this man, none whatsoever. But without that, he might not have ever turned his life and his marriage around. He was desperate, wondering what to do. So we never know what peace. And there are stories where you can think of someone that has done something meaningful to you, said something meaningful in which you probably never told them how meaningful that was, or interacted with them or in some way, or you heard something, and yet it was a life-changing encounter for you. Those kinds of things happen. So we need to be faithful to play our F and G, even when it seems like it's a nothing, and that it doesn't really matter, because God is God. And God is doing something way bigger, way more complex than we're doing. And yet God has trusted us to be a part of that big picture. Trusted us to be faithful to that peace that God has given us to do. The other thing that's true is that I'm only responsible for my piece of the story and not the whole thing. Especially not the outcome. That part is up to God. Paul talked about planting and Apollos watering, and that it is God who makes things grow. I'm only responsible to play the two notes that I'm given. I am responsible to play them. But I'm not responsible to run around and take everybody else's note and try to play for them. Or if I think somebody's fallen asleep on the job, to run over and play their notes and to run over and play their notes. Nor am I responsible to make something happen. Sometimes we've received the message that we're responsible to make the outcome happen. That it's up to us to kind of manipulate things so that something will happen. Or if we're not faithful to do our part, that person is doomed. If we don't speak into someone's life, that they're doomed. And yet, God is bigger than that. And while I alluded to the power of that elderly woman in that meeting changing this man's life and marriage years later, I am convinced that God could have found another way if it hadn't have been for that. God uses what God has at any time. And yet, we're invited to be a part of that. And we don't want to miss our opportunity to be faithful to the larger picture. But to let go of what's next is also huge. To not feel like I need to manage the outcome and manage the response. Did you get it? I don't think you got it. Let me tell it to you again. Sit down or do whatever we can to kind of force it through. And God says, you can trust me. If you're faithful to play your piece, to do your part, to be a team member in what I am orchestrating, I'll take care of the rest. And I get it that once in a while you're going to miss an F or a G. I get it. I got a whole choir, and it's going to sound okay. And I'm going to pick it up other ways. It'll be all right. It's God's work, and we're just responsible to be faithful to our leadings. But when we miss it, God still takes care of things and still manages to make things grow. I love that when I water plants, if I forget to water them for a couple of days, they still live. And even I have a plant at home and it gets kind of droopy. Oh yeah, I need to water that plant. And it straightens back up. He probably would have liked it if I hadn't let it get droopy, but, you know, it works. But I think it deeply helps us to image that what God is doing is much larger than what we're doing, and to be aware of that, and even to pause and think about, what is God doing in this? What larger peace is at work? And how do I even ask, how do I fit into that? What is my role in that? And when am I not responsible for something? When is it mine to lay down? When is it someone else's to pick up? And I need to trust both God and others to be faithful to their peace. So we can trust that God is at work. And we can let God do God's work as we're faithful to play our piece, our notes in that process. We continue to listen and wait in the presence of God, inviting God to speak to us directly as we listen in the silence. Let us listen.